Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome from the Boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Boy, it's great to be here with my buddies. And I got to tell everybody something, and this is interesting. We are mucking around in our fourth year. We have kept this dream alive for 4 years, and we'll be keeping it going much, much longer. It's just so much fun. I wouldn't miss it. Wake up on Wednesdays and I'm glad to get to do it. So anyway, just wanted to thank everybody, all fans that listen in. And we're having a great time. It's loud and crazy here in Myrtle Beach, as it always is. But thanks for being with us. Now, of course, I've got some of my best friends here manning the board for us. Is Dave Atwell. How are you doing, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing very well. I hope everybody else is, just dealing with the heat, as I'm sure you are down there on the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach. But everything's doing fine here. Yeah, I can hear you sweating.
It was unbelievable today. I had a flat tire on the interstate. I was actually over in Clayton, Georgia yesterday working on the Georgia Big Book Conference, which is going to be pretty spectacular. I got some things to tell everybody about upcoming Comic-Cons here in just a minute. But I had to stand there for an hour waiting on the truck to come help me out from a flat tire. And it was burning up like mad there outside of Columbia. So everybody be careful. We are in the middle of the hot spell in the southeast here. So just please be careful. And I know, Dave, you do some work outside, so be sure to put that sunscreen on and keep a hat on. I bet you're a pretty thing with a hat.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
Drink lots of water, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I drank an entire
13 bucks in a hat, and I tell you, best thing I've ever done.
You talk about staying hydrated. I drank 1 gallon of iced tea between Greenville, South Carolina, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina today. It was the only thing that kept me alive, I tell you what. So, yeah, just stay hydrated. It's dangerous out there when it's hot. Anyway, Todd Sexton, how are you doing in our northernmost outpost?
Up here in Indianapolis, doing outstanding to super stinking natural. It is just things are too good to be true. Just dealing with them. We'll wait here in the next month or so. I may have some interesting news, and we'll see.
Well, that's great. Now, speaking of interesting news, the Comic-Con world for me, because I put on a number of them, it has gone crazy this week, and I've got some wonderful things to announce. First of all, at Cherokee Comic-Con, at Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and at Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, we're going to have a Bigfoot Dog Connection contest. Dress your dog up as Bigfoot. We're giving away prizes for that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to be putting that out there on Facebook here in about 2 days, and everybody like it and share it. But bring your dog dressed as Bigfoot, and hopefully we can get Dave to be the head judge at one of those events, since he is such an expert on how Bigfoot looks, or how a dog looks when dressed up as Bigfoot. Right, Dave?
Absolutely.
Exactly. That is frightening. And then the other thing, and I'm going to make a verbal announcement here. We're signing contracts in the next 3 days. But at the Cherokee Comic-Con, we've got some spectacular guests. First of all, we've got Robbie Rist. Robbie played Michelangelo in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle films from 1990, 1991, and 1993. What a great guy he is. He's done a boatload of anime. He's got a list of credits that's over 200, and a nice guy to boot. So everyone's excited to have Robbie Rist coming to the Cherokee Comic-Con. But then, Dave, and I know you will especially be thrilled about this, we have got the world's leading UFO abductee author and personality, Travis. He is going to be something else, and he's going to be there in Cherokee. So I can't wait to officially announce it. But it's going to be great. We got a lot of great guests coming. I hope you guys can make it.
Breaking news! I'm going to do a quick interruption. Dave, check the board.
Yeah.
We got someone trying to call in.
I already got him clicked in. So,
who's coming in?
Brother Stroh has joined us again tonight. What's going
on, bud? Stroh, how you doing?
Well, geez, I didn't think the superstars let me get on the air tonight. My goodness. Been trying to call.
Yeah, Dave's been hammered on this.
I waited here longer than the doctor's office waiting for you guys. Put me on.
Hey, could be worse. You could have been at the DMV.
Well, I felt like I was.
Brother, we missed you. You're going for it.
Golly, we're glad to have you here.
How is everyone? I thought Bigfoot was getting at John for weeks on end. Didn't hear from John. And my goodness, it's been like forever and a day.
I know. It's been, we're out here on the boardwalk every night from 5 p.m. till 1 a.m. And it's been magnificent, I can tell you that. And I am down here on the windy, windswept beach of Myrtle Beach right here on the boardwalk. And it's wonderful. And I was just talking about that. You guys signed up for the Cherokee Comic Con. It's going to be a blast. Pop Stroh's going to be there headlining. He is the guest with the mostest, I'll tell you that. He's got a huge reputation up there, and people love him. So we're looking forward to having you there. And I've got some announcements. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I came on to say hello to everybody. I am being heralded back at the caricature stand because they have a line and they don't know what to do. So I'm going to leave this show in the very capable hands of three. Because
oh, great. So I get on the air and you leave. That's wonderful. All right. Thanks. Wow.
Still love you, Papa Stroh. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel the love.
The old,
yeah, okay.
The old gotta make a living. But I'm coming on.
All right. Well, hey, it's all right, guys. It was good talking to you guys. I'll see you next week. Take care.
Anyway, guys,
be good,
and I'll see you guys on the next turn around the track, okay?
All right, brother. Well, be safe, and we will see you next week.
Be safe and be hydrated.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Be good.
Sounds technical. Bye-bye.
All righty, Dan.
All right. Well, yeah, and then suddenly it goes to two. Oh man. Yeah. So how about those Braves?
All right. I'm gonna throw out Gibbs for a 10 o'clock night, just saying.
Yeah, why not? Sounds good. I tell you what we can do on tonight's show. And John kinda got things, they got the ice broken. Is the con scene, and actually we can address things as a Comic Con this weekend because of course we got San Diego Comic Con, who were the guys who squashed the term Comic Con because they said it belonged to them. So now nobody,
you know, they kind of deserve it. They're the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. Coming up here. So, truth be told, I guess what we can do for the next little bit here is just pretty much carry on about the old survival guide. Not so much from the having a table or being a vendor side, but more being an attendee side for the folks who maybe haven't made it to one or I've only been to a couple or been to the smaller ones. So what would be, if you had
John,
to pack
you,
Todd, if you had to pack away.
Look, I'm just going to throw something out there because it was something that, you know, I was just my weird thought process that happened earlier was, yesterday, I left my lunchbox at work. I got a little cooler thing. You know, I know some people will be depressed that it's not like a Star Wars lunchbox or something, but it's a good old-fashioned cooler, mini cooler. And I had left it at work yesterday. And so I was fussing at myself about that. And I was like, man, now I got to actually, because I, you know, of course, a day that you don't have a lunchbox, you're three times as hungry as normal, you know, or at least you feel that way. And I was like, oh, man, you know, and everything about what I'm doing up here is about, frankly, save money. So I worked fairly hard to be stingy. I won't even say frugal. I'm straight up stingy, you know, about the way I live and do things. See, so I was like, man, what am I going to do for lunch? And we got to, you know, you're talking downtown Indianapolis. There's just a myriad of options. But the bottom line was I was trying to save up off while I was doing it. So I'm like, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go do that. And I was like, what's one of the things, first off, that'll help me control what I spend? I said, I'll go ahead, and I'm not going to use the card at all. I'm going to do everything with tip. And remember to use cash, because that'll force me to behave. And it occurred to me at that particular moment, I said, man, this is just like a Comic-Con. Cash is king.
Yeah.
So number one rule at a Comic-Con, I'm going to tell you right stinking now, cash is king. Not that other mediums aren't there and aren't capable, but cash is king, because one of the fun things in some cases, depending upon the booth and stuff that you're working with, the vendor you're working with, you can go to ye old-fashioned barter system. And you'd be surprised how that works. So number one rule I'm going to throw out, since you were bringing it up, Survival Guide, cash is king. And never keep it all in the same place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
you find ways to have as many pockets as possible. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
I don't care. Hideaway things, whatever.
Because reaching in your pockets to pull the cash out, if you drop cash at a Comic-Con, you ain't getting it back. So the ability to bend over and pick it up, especially if you're at a bigger one, there's just so much bumping and running over and so much going on. If you drop it, somebody's definitely, they're not going to bend over and pick it up, but they're likely to kick it 5 or 6 feet away from you, shuffling their feet. And, yeah, that, and not to mention the fact there, you know, you can't deny the criminal element. So you don't see much of it in Comic-Con, but one day I'm sure it will rear its ugly head. And, you know, when you're in there getting squeeze between, you know, half dozen people, it doesn't take much for somebody, especially if you wear breeches that have a little air to them, you know, cargo pants, that kind of stuff. Somebody can drop their hand in there, pull a couple bucks out of your pocket. You don't even know it's gone. So yeah, cash is definitely imperative. And
you're talking about the pickpockets and that. Boy, for those of us that are used to having somebody cop a feel, boy, it's hard to tell the difference.
And for those who are not used to copping a feel, they'll be able to detect it immediately, I would imagine.
Yeah, pretty much. Son of a... Hell, it'd probably be worth leaving a few bucks hanging out of a pocket.
Yeah, see if they'll take the offer, you know. But something to consider, especially if you're going to these bigger ones. If you're going to a local show, the good news, and we've spoken about it before, the good news about the local shows is how personable it is and – I don't want to use the term calm, but it's a less chaotic, a little more breathable. But when you go to these bigger shows, do not be scared to walk out of the thing and catch your breath. because it is. It gets exhausting, the walking. If you're not used to walking, which, of course, you know, me and you for all those years, standing on our feet, walking 100 miles a day at work and everything, it doesn't get to us. But for folks that aren't used to doing a lot of walking, sometimes you'll go to these larger cons and you're getting caught up in the wave or the current, if you will, of the traffic flow. And before you know it, you look over your shoulder.
It can be a damn riptide when you're in there.
Yeah. And you're slam on the other side of the venue, and you start getting the claustrophobic feeling. So, you know, don't be afraid to stop what you're doing. The lines aren't going to get any shorter. Stop what you're doing. And that's what I like about the SuperCon, to be honest with you, because it's down on the arena floor. So you can take the escalator up to the main concourse and have all the room you want just to lean up against the wall, catch your breath, do whatever you got to do, and you're actually out of the hustle and bustle of the con itself. So
now, let me tell you, I can't. We were both at one of the big Raleigh con, one of the big Raleigh ones. That time we bumped into you there briefly. When I took Marquita, Cheryl's daughter there, it was Yuki Kana and Marquita, myself. Now, I tell you one of the things. We were talking about stepping out and taking a breath. So let me tell you one of the things about that is why we were out there. I don't want anybody to get confused between the words less expensive and inexpensive. All right. But the food vendors outside were much less expensive. I'm not saying they were necessarily inexpensive. Maybe comparatively they were. But the outside food vendors were definitely less expensive. And most of them were really your independent Joes just trying to run booths. Some of them were fundraiser things that were just trying to, you know, they knew that there would be a hellish big crowd. And this is strictly for instructional, you know, this fictional that it may be. I'm not trying to say it's exactly the case, but it might have been something like one of the local schools, band groups or something, you know, doing the hot dogs, hot chocolate and coffee, you know? So, that might be a cheaper way. And look, generally speaking, you're not going to be able to eat healthy there. So don't expect that.
Yeah.
And
you're not going to be able to eat heartily either. You're not going to be able to lay down on a double quarter pounder with cheese. You know, you gotta, eat the on-the-fly chow. As a matter of fact, you know, when Rob and I went SuperCon in Raleigh last year, we saw they had a Taco Bell mobile assault unit, if you will, sitting up there. And I told Rob, I says, hey, tacos, let's go do that. So we got over there and got in the, you know, long line to get the tacos, and I happened to glance up, and what you would pay 79 cents for at Taco Bell for a soft taco was a robust $6. And, you know, I don't know about everybody listening, but, you know, I'm 220. Rob's probably a good 250. A soft taco does nothing. All it does is make us mad. And so you've got to really, really watch your budget, as you alluded to, Todd, to and the way to combat that, there's two ways to combat that. Number one,
okay, sir,
is,
survival guide. We're going to go into one of them. Go ahead.
It is, yeah, is pound it down before you get there. Eat your whole damn box of Pop-Tart. Do whatever you got to do. The other alternative was to buy, or not buy, but carry, and, you know, us military bred folks call them rations. but you know, don't carry a Hershey bar in your pocket, but if you take two or three granola bars or your, what they call those, like Cliff bars or whatever, and shove those things in your pocket, granola ain't going to melt. It's not going to get bad. Granola is going to be the same old dry, crunchy, nasty experience that it is any other time of the day. Take you a couple of those granola bars or the protein bars, stick them in your pocket.
I'm with you on that one. And let me tell you, speaking of that, and for practicality, we were talking pockets, and I probably should have gone ahead and said this. And I forget what the heck they're called, but those damn belt pouches.
Oh, yeah. Fanny
pack. Look, they're pretty much a damn must. Because, look, when you get there, there's wristbands and tickets and this and that. You got, you know, you go in there, you bought passes to attend this and that, and they're giving you all this stuff. And, oh, my goodness, you may have half a dozen other forms and whatnot to find. So one of those doggone things is handy. Because you can keep those kind of things, not necessarily organized, but you can keep them in one place, if nothing else. That, and you were talking about, so this is what we always did before, well, here we go. The Emerald Isle Comic Con, without saying its name.
Oh, correct. Yes, sir.
The one where I got it, where we got everybody together that you didn't know that was coming in. We did an old school rule. We all went somewhere for breakfast, and we went to and I may need you to help me with. Oh, we went to Helen's Kitchen.
Yep.
On 17th.
Right there in Jackson.
So we all went in there. Good old fashioned diner atmosphere. We went in there, got a bang for the buck breakfast, the kind of thing that can get you salad for the day you want to. And, you know, generically, be careful what you eat because you're going to be dealing with public toilets. but we were able to, just a thought, that's another part of the survival guide. Go ahead, eat up you do that kind of stuff. And depending upon the size and parking and that, but I mean, a big breakfast, let's do that. A big breakfast, that kind of thing. Everybody can get together. You can do like final game planning, doing little things like that. You know, everybody's getting together. We're doing odds and ends, little thoughts on what the heck we're going to do. And we can all go in there and boy, it worked like a charm because you did not see it coming.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, it's hard to carry beverages along with you, even a bottle of water. And there's nothing more pleasing when you're hot and bothered than a nice warm bottle of water. So drinks are the one thing that sometimes you just got to bite the bullet on and pay a little more for. But that's another one. If you buy them down on the floor by the arena-sponsored vendors, you're going to end up paying $5 for a bottle of water that you'd pay 35 cents for anywhere else on the planet. But, again, if you leave the event, and bear in mind when I say leave the event, I don't mean leave the venue where you can't get back in. That's not what I mean. But get out of the main grind of the show and go to the outer perimeter of it where, like you said, they have random food vendors of all shapes and sizes. And most every one of them have bottled water, be it, you know, Niagara or Aquafina or whatever. And a lot of times Pepsi or Coke will be out there even shoveling their wares. And you can get stuff for relatively cheap from those guys because they'll, you know, have a truck and a couple, bins
a lot
full
of the
ice out there.
Are cheaper doing that. You know what we did with the Raleigh one? It was probably really a little bit funky. Is
We stopped. We've got the breakfast. We went over. There was a. It was a super. It was a super cool day. Hell, it was down right on the Brist side for North Carolina. And they had a farmer's market. So we drew. We hit that in the morning. We had some extra. And there, boy, there's always, you know, coffee, hot chocolate, whatnot vendors there. We had gotten a little, you know, a little more supplement there. Some like the one people, they had some sort of like donuts or some such thing, you know, some sort of fresh danishes that they were doing that were their own product and things like that. So we were able to have just a little bit of relaxed time ahead of it. You know, we got to our parking garage plenty early, all that kind of stuff. And it was nice because we had the time to go shop. We threw a few veggies in the vehicle, that kind of thing. And it was cold enough. It wasn't a big deal. Hot summertime, it won't work. I get it. But hot summertime, if you're going to one of those smaller cons and parking's not like a major issue, you know what you can put in your vehicle? You can put in a cooler.
Right.
You can go out. You can take a half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever. Those smaller venues, they're just, man, I'm just such a huge fan of the smaller ones. You can do the things. You step out. You relax. You do the little things. And that's a good thing. Like I say, throw a cooler in the vehicle. If it's something where you can do that within range, we could have done that at Raleigh. We were right, you know, we were close enough as far as the parking across the street thing. It wasn't anything invasive for a walk. I know some people would think, oh my God, you got to walk that far, but that was nothing.
Right.
You know,
it just
parking
makes sense.
The best take of the atmosphere, but whatever.
And a lot of times, you know, when you're going to your, you know, first, second, third con like this, you get so wrapped around the anxiety of going to one of these things that you totally forget you got to eat and drink. And so, you know, it's an early on mistake. As a matter of fact, you know, how many times you've seen me setting up my table at the shows, and what do I always have? I always have candy, and I always have like Pop-Tarts. Not because I'm a fat kid, but because I know at any given moment, me or somebody that means something to me is going to need something to chow on. And it's always good to have the bowl of candy on the table, the box of Pop-Tarts, because Pop-Tarts are universal. You can eat them for everything. You can eat them raw.
And for the listeners, when he says he has Pop-Tarts, he is not talking about Britney Spears.
Now, you'd never see me if that was the case. Now, another thing to bring up, another one of those you don't know until you know things, is if you're going to go to one of these bigger shows, and again, I keep using the term bigger shows, just look at the guest list. And if the guest list has your heavy hitters, and everybody knows what I mean by heavy hitters, you know, wrestlers, if they have, you know, some guy who wrestled 35 years ago and was never much more than the U.S. champion, okay, yeah. But when you start throwing down the Ric Flairs, the Dave Bautistas, the Triple H's, and those kind of names, you got to know that there's going to be a ton of people there to see them. So you go and you look at the price point on these celebrities, on how much they're asking for their autograph. Now, I'll go ahead and say this too. Don't hold it against the celebrities about their price point either, because a lot of times they are brought on for what's called guaranteed money in the business. And what's guaranteed money? That is when the con guarantees the celebrity a certain amount of cash. So in other words, if I'm the con organizer and I want Todd Saxon to sign autographs at my con, and I tell him it's $25,000 guarantee. All right. People line up to get Todd's autograph, and when all the dust settles, Todd has $24,000 worth of revenue that he built up from signing autographs. That means I, as the con, owe him $1,000 because it's a guaranteed $25,000.
Yep.
So when you have these celebrities on there who are charging what, you know, and I'll use the term exorbitant because some of them, and I'll get to this in a moment, some of them I feel, and not to be, not to take away from anybody's fame or anybody's accomplishments out there, but let's say Ric Flair, you know, in my opinion, the greatest wrestler on the planet, always will be. There's nobody that's ever going to beat Nate. If he's asking $60 for his autograph, all right, but then you've got somebody who's been wrestling for 2 years and is mildly famous mid-card kind of guy who wants 50, I have a little tough time with that. But understand that a lot of times it's not the celebrity gauging that. It's his agency and the con itself that are making a price point that's beneficial financially for the survival of the con itself and the celebrities that come in. Because they also have to pay for
their own. The con, just to embellish your point a little bit, they do have an impact on helping set prices with that. So it's not just the agents and that kind of stuff. It's not just the individual, just so people get that stuff. The con may say that we're not going to have anybody less than $25. That's the bottom frickin' line. And we're only going to have X number of these. And then we're going to have the next tier that is $40. And we're going to have the and that's all part of them. Like they said, that they've paid, you know, they may pay 5, 10, 15, 20 per these people. So they're going to up their tiers of their required minimum prices for whether it's them just signing a piece of paraphernalia that you brought in yourself. That might be run. And just for the record, all these things run at different prices. If it's an 8x10 glossy that they already have, pay a different price for that. And if you want to do a snapshot with them with your own stinking cell phone, you're going to pay for that too.
Yeah, that's kind of one that I don't approve of in any case is, you know, because 4 or 5 years ago, if you paid for the autograph, you getting a selfie on your phone with the guy was just part of the deal.
And a lot of them will still do that, just to throw it out.
But, you know, now, you know, you want 50 for the autograph and another 50 to take the pic, and it's like, oh, man, you know, $100 in one lick, you know, that's a lot of money. And so, you know, carrying on with the whole autograph scene of things and the price points and all, here's the thing, is that when you go to a show, all right, first thing off is you're going to pay, and again, let me just, I'm going to use Ric Flair again for the example because Rick's always been a classy guy and everything and always been more than engaging every time I've met him. But you're going to go there and meet him, and his price for SuperCon next week, he's asking $60 for his autograph. All right.
That
so
really
you're
is
going to,
outrageous.
Yeah. So you're spending $60. So you go up there, you shake hands with Nate, and he signs an 8x10 of your choice for that $60. Okay, now you have an 8x10 that you just paid $60 for in your hand, and you're surrounded by a bunch of people that aren't paying a nary lick of attention where they're walking because they're too busy in a geek utopia. All right, so you've got.
Well, you're nicer than I am because some of them are dumber than a damn stump. But yeah,
you've got to find a way to protect your $60 investment. Bear in mind that Sharpie takes a few moments, and when I use the term moments, it could be seconds, it could be a minute, depending on the grade of 8x10 that they sign, or a personal item of yours, whatever.
Humidity, blah, blah, blah.
Correct. There's a lot of Bill Nye stuff that goes into the amount of time it takes for a Sharpie to dry.
But yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, you've got to, when you get that autograph, step away for a moment, try to find the nearest wall or unaccompanied corner and give your $60 investment a moment to breathe and to dry. Now, on that same tip, now your ink is dried. You got to get the hell out of that place without that 8x10 getting beat all to pieces. Something I do, and Todd, I know you've seen me carrying it before. I have a little black zip-up. You can buy them for $3 for the back-to-school sales, and it's a little three-ring binder.
Well, functionally, let's face it, a lot of them are more $15 now or whatever, but yeah, go ahead and buy one of those good, you can buy some of the cheap semi-clear plastic ones or whatever that got the little sleeves or whatever that you might keep your bills in at home.
Yeah. Accordion files,
one of those little mean, one of those heavy-duty plastic ones that has a decent fold-over top should you run into inclement weather. Little spring thing that pulls over the other half and gives you a decent seal.
A three-ring binder means nothing. It seems to rain every Comic-Con that you go to. So you've waded through a bunch of 400-pound guys who haven't used deodorant. You haven't smeared your ink, and you get to the front door.
Oh, God. Don't forget the 400-pound woman that smells like cat piss.
That helps, too. Or cat something else. Yeah. And you get to the front door feeling like Indiana Jones, and you find that we're in the middle of a, deluge, subtropical rain event. And next thing you know, you have your $60 autographed pick that somehow or another you've gotten, and you can't shove it under your shirt because your shirt's going to get wet. You can't roll it up and put it in your pocket because then it's going to get bent. As we were alluding to, get something that you can put it in to protect it, not so much from getting bumped and creased, but also from the elements, from the and moreover, it could be a sunny, hot day outside, and you're sweating, sweat's dripping off of every part of your body down onto your $60 investment. So again, You know, and a nifty thing about some of these little notebook keeper things, if you're really on your A game, you can go and buy a 50-cent, they call them mommy clips now. You know, like, what do they call those? They're not gator clips, but they got the little metal where you push the metal in. Like if you're doing mountain climbing, they've got those things, and you can buy them
like carabiners.
Yeah, and you can take one of those, run it through the zipper on your binder or your portfolio, whatever you want to call it, and clip that sucker to your belt, and it does just the same. That's something that I've been carrying for a long time. And it protects your investment, and not to mention the fact that it protects your investment while you're trying to get home too. You know, while you're loading up the truck and you're slinging stuff everywhere.
Let me tell you a silly thing with that. The fact that you can clip it on to your belt loop, belt, whatever. Let me tell you the good thing about that. You are less likely to set it down somewhere and find a way to forget it.
That is true.
So
that is
huge. So let me throw this out there. It lets me get a double coupon day out there. Just little things with people. You were talking about, we were discussing the prices for autographs, things like that. Now, understand, Dave brought up some of these mid-card guys or these people coming up, and then these people are working on making a name for themselves. You got people that were maybe did a single scene in a show or whatever, Walking Dead, stuff like that. So when they come to these things, this is part of the way they're making a living, you know. So they're charging $5, $10, $15, whatever, you know, for the things. So I want to give some love to Greg Cruz. First con that I ended up working, and just for the record, Dave knows the story well, I had no intention of coming in and working the con. I happened to have a pass, came in, we were bringing family, my daughter brought one of her buddies, wife came down with me, we're all in one vehicle, and next thing I know, Dr. John's like, hey, Todd, would you watch so-and-so's table while they're doing, while they're going over and they're doing their little meet and greet, little conference room conversation thing. And it's great because you're in a really small room. There's not a bad seat. You know, if you want to do pictures while you're in there, you're not getting charged and all that, back to the small cons. You're talking with these people, and it's these things. God, these little, when they have the little events and you're not paying extra for them, it's part of the doggone admission. So you can go in there and, and it's great. It's all a cheap seats thing. But they're all friggin' box seats. It's great. You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
This guy's going to go over there and do this. And I don't know him from Adam. And I'm just going over there to jump on the thing. Jump in to help. You know, that's what I'm there for. Dr. John got me the free passes. And he's known I've done little things to help and stuff like that. So I'm like, man, this is, you know, it's kind of cool, and I'm covering the booth for them and asking the stuff, and I'm more worried about taking care of their stuff. And I already understood the system about the people trying to make a buck. And this is a guy, you know, again, beast, you know, he's working and making a name. He's done, he's generally the extras in a lot of scenes, and he's done just a few odds and ends, so he's got a little bit above and beyond. So
for a former Navy guy, he's done darn good for himself. And he's a hell of a nice guy. So when we're done, he's like, hey, do you want an autograph or a picture? And I'm taking this as an option. He asked it, right? Which do you prefer, right? And I was like, I'll take a selfie. I go, I don't want to take both from you. I know you're trying to. No. He goes, I'm just asking if you want to do either or both. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. I was like, all I did was watch your cable for, the better part of an hour. And he's like, it's all right. And we're sitting there, and his son picks up on the sub. Next thing you know, we're sitting there talking. We both realize we're veterans and stuff. Dude, we've been chatting for like 3 years online and just, odds and ends things, sharing things. When Great Cruz comes up with updates for his project that he's working, he knows that he can send it to me and I'll post it. I got my tribe. I'll send it out there. It'll get to a few people, that kind of thing. But, small kind, you don't have this. Sit there, I'm getting a sign glossy. That was however, 10, 15 bucks for whatever the average Joe walking up there was. And I got the photo with him and the son, and that's different. We were sitting aside. Next thing you know, over the same con, we're talking with Tiffany Beckler. And it's not but a number of months later, and she's over there with all of us after the Jacksonville con, and we're having chow at Garion's house. We're having the post-con chow together. You just, big cons, this stuff's not going to happen. Little cons, this stuff is amazing. You meet these people of talent, like, again, Greg Cruz and Tiffany Beckler, and they're just amazing stories, the stuff that they do, the stuff that they pull off. And it's just really cool. Here we were coming up on New Year's last year. I get an IM out of the blue. Hey, Todd, what are you guys doing this New Year's? I'm having the bash. And I'm like, hon, I'm up in Indy. I'm sorry. But, you don't just have these. The amazing thing is you have everyday conversations. Now, Greg, he and I were talking about a reunion he has with his old ship's crew that he invited me to that I couldn't make it to. That's really? You don't get this at the big cons.
No. Absolutely not.
Well, think about this. It's like Dr. John said earlier, we're on 4 years here. Little cons. What the hell am I doing on this podcast? Come over there, help out, do things. We're there with the guys. It is unreal. So the cons, you can have so much fun. You can make real relationships. Are we best friends with all these people? I'm not even going to pretend to say that or stuff. But you know what? I know so much on different levels of the people, the business they're trying to do, and not just big picture business stuff, but they'll sit there and talk and we'll have discussions. Hey, I'm trying to do this. What do you think about that? Because I know you have a background in this. And we're mates talking. And that's pretty stinking cool. Just really stinking cool.
And you find out that a lot of those guys at that point are fans of the fact that you're a fan of theirs. You know what I mean? They have a genuine appreciation for the fact that and that's something I've said about the Walking Dead guys. All the guys from the Walking Dead that I've met, Lord knows we've met so many of them. I haven't met one yet that acted like they were up above it. Every one of them that we've run into has been more than friendly, accommodating, and I mean just good, salt-to-the-earth type folks, and that's, right on up to the folks who are playing zombies to, the heavy hitters on the show. But yeah, when you go to those smaller, and that would be a good suggestion too, For folks who haven't been to one, is cut your teeth on a smaller show. And I don't mean to use the word small as a derogatory, but
oh no, because it's very real. Let me tell you one of the first rules they need to learn, and God, we did not touch on this. Try to keep your hands off your freaking wallet. Get all the way through. Do your pricing. Build your wish list.
Right.
Instead of impulse buying at the first booth. You may very well end up back at your first booth. Yes. But
wish list
for everyday guys and girls, you have a finite income. And because, let's face it, if we fell on watts, we could walk into a con, and we could easily drop $1,500 on odds and ends without blinking a damn eye. But not everybody's got that disposable income. I damn sure didn't. And any of those other ones. And I'm pretty sure that if I went and I did that at a con, I would never be on a podcast again because Yuki would pretty much kill me. I think that is a safe bet.
Put you out of commission.
I think that is a safe bet.
I tell you, the wish list
thing. If you found a way to go through and do all those different things, it would be yes. It would be beneficial to do the walkthrough.
Yeah, take a lap. Go through, especially if you're in there trying to, and again, the financial side of it, you got to really. How's word? You got to bite down on it, so to speak. And you know, you said that you know, make yourself a wish list on who you want to spend money on, who you don't. How you would do that? Prioritize. I mean, if it's somebody,
let me throw out a small con name, a guy that goes to some of the not major cons, puts on a good demonstration. Every stinking time, salt of the earth, real people, Bill Blair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mr. Blair is a great
man. Bill Blair is a
great guy.
I just like really the look, I got you know, kind of Sweet 16. Included Bill Blair asking me, you know, I happened to mention we were in the middle of a chat. We had a chat the night before. He's like, hey, got any social media? And I was like, yeah. He goes, what's your most common medium? What she use? What's her handle? And for God's sake, Bill Blair was sending a personal message to kind of on her birthday.
Right. He's another one that's a fan of the fans, you know what I mean?
He did not friggin' have to do that. That's just the decency of the kind of guy he is. Bill is just...
Because he is
good
top notch. Good people.
Yeah, good people. Just saying, the... love you, dude. Just seriously, the... Keep shining the light because you lead the way. That is such a good thing.
Yeah, when and he's another one. He's a good example. What I'm talking about with the wish list thing. You know, sometimes you even though you've met people before, it does not hurt. To go see them again, and especially if they're good. Like you said, just good-hearted people. You know, they're out there trying. Don't be scared to, go say hello and everything. one of the important things you got to think about when you're making your wish list beyond a financial thing, because, of course, you got to budget your money, you know, and then you got to find out how much they're asking for their autographs. Then you prioritize with what money you have on, you know, who you want to go see. Now, here's the other caveat to that, is that you've also got to bear in mind that there is a shot that you ain't going to get to see this person for whatever reason. And take, for instance, myself, the first wrestling match I ever watched, as I think I was 6 years old, was Greg Valentine and Ric Flair against Wahoo McDaniel and Ricky Steamboat. I've shook hands with three of those gentlemen. Ricky Steamboat is the one I have yet to shake hands with. Now, he was in Richmond at a Comic-Con we were at, and he was top of the list guys that I wanted to meet. Why? Because, hey, that's the last piece of the puzzle for me, you know? And so we get there, and as we're looking around, trying to find where he's at, because trust me, those con maps are never true. looking around, yeah, they're never true. So I finally find out where he's at, but the line was a couple miles long. So I had to make that
Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah. And I had to make that call. I've got one day at this con. I've got 6-7 hours maximum at this con today to have as much fun as I can. Do I want to spend 3 hours of it standing in line? Or do I go off?
Here's the thing. I'm going to throw this out for survival tool. Be able to work with your group. It helps to pay to have 2, 3, 4 in your group, where some of you can do placeholders in those lines.
Yeah.
And everybody be paying attention to the text, because it never fails. As soon as you get in line to do the placeholder, you're like, man, I got to go pee. And you're like, somebody come relieve me briefly so I can make it to the head. I'll be right back. But, man, I got to do this, and then I'll be good. But it just never fails. You know, it's little things like that. But don't use that placeholder thing in line. Don't be afraid to do that tanking thing in line. It works. It absolutely works. Speaking of Bills, let me throw this out there. Speaking of Bills, our guy Bill Fripp. What a trip.
Good man.
You know, Garen's getting ready to go on deployment. He and I have done a number of IMs online, and I'm like, dude, how can I get some books, fairly short fuse? I want to get my son reading material for his deployment. He's like, give me your Addy. I'm like, yeah, but how do I get you that? He's like, no, give me your Addy. He sent autographed books to Gary and just out and out sent them.
That's awesome.
Dude, you know, this is a guy trying to make his name as an author. Every book sale is a bonus for him. And he just launched 2 books out of his pocket.
Yeah. Just to do it, because that's really the kind of guy he is. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I'm not telling you all to try to pander to these people that we've named and stuff. I'm just telling you that there's a reason these cats and us still talk and stuff like that. They're just, dude, that. It's
good people.
I will talk to these non-major commercial cons, and I will talk to the real people any given time.
in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Hey, not to cut you off, Todd, we got 14 robust seconds left on the air. There she is, 10
okay.
seconds. So, everybody be safe. Thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you all next week on Pop Culture
right.
Stars. Good night, everybody.
Big hugs, people. Big hugs. Great. Dave,